Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time for Two-Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and hair restoration. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, how are we doing? What's going on?
I am delightful, fellas. How are you today?
We are delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Corey, what did you think of a wild card weekend in the NFL? Still one more game tonight to go, obviously, and we'll see what happens on that front. But overall, what did you make of the weekend, and what do you think of the matchup for the Titans against the Cincinnati Bengals coming in later this week?
Well, I think we're going to rename this last weekend the Dennis Green Wild Card Weekend, because this was the weekend of they are who we thought they are. That was my biggest impression, because the Eagles were just as bad as I thought they were in not having beaten anyone the entire season. And the New England Patriots were just as fraudulent as I thought they would be. They just didn't have enough guys to hang with the Buffalo Bills, who absolutely hammered them. And the only problem I saw with that game is that the Bills didn't score 50. So that was outstanding to watch. And then, you know, the Cowboys, we wondered if they would be soft against a physical San Francisco team. And it ended up they were. They weren't strong enough to play with them, and people can blame officiating all they want in that game. Dallas blew that game. That's absolutely on the Cowboys. You know, the Bucs, you know, look like they aren't going to go away quietly as champs. I can't count them out after, you know, what we've seen. And the Chiefs look pretty darn good. So we'll see. But again, the Steelers are another team that were exactly what we thought they were. And, you know, there were some games this weekend that if you're a bettor were pretty easy bets. And so this was a chance to get paid and to beat the casino.
That's a good point. Of course, I picked both the Eagles and Steelers and took the points. So brilliant on my part after ripping the
Sometimes
Steelers all
I
week.
I don't even know you, Joe. I just don't know.
Well, it was all week. I had people screaming at me about how the Steelers were going to make this a game. You know, I need to hear from some of those people today and hear an apology. But you know what? They were three more defensive touchdowns away from making that a game, man. And they got the one, and if they just had a few more. Well, let me ask you this, Corey, on the subject of they are who we thought they were, what did you think of the Bengals, and what do you think of them now?
You know, it's unfortunate because the Bengals are one of the teams that I haven't seen a ton of this season. For whatever reason, you know, I don't know, it's just the way the map has gone for the games that we get to watch. I haven't gotten to watch a lot of them, so I got to see some of them in this game. And, you know, like Joe Burrow can play, and he's good. They weren't quite as explosive as I expected them. See, I know everybody's all upset about that touchdown with the whistle. That play was a touchdown. I think, you know, the right thing, you know, yes, the whistle came prematurely, but that was a touchdown. It needed to be a touchdown. I don't have a problem with that. I think they can score, you know, points. You know, obviously, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are going to be a problem for a long, 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 long time. And I think that they've got some guts, you know, because, you know, a lot of teams, you get to this time of the year and it's their first time, they've been there a long time, they're just happy to be there. I don't think they're that way. I think they're a little young and maybe a little naive, you know, on you know, where they are and how things are going. But I think they do believe, and I think they're certainly a dangerous team. The way I would put it is of, you know, the teams that the Titans could have played, they're the teams that you least wanted to play. But they're the one you got, and so you got to go through them.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. So, Corey, with that in mind, as you look at this matchup for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball, what do you think of this matchup from Derrick Henry coming back to the way that Tannehill has played the last couple of weeks? Where do you think this Titans offense is right
Well, you know, I know everybody thinks that Derek's going to come back and rush for 200 yards, and he might. You know, I don't know, but I don't know. I've never seen Derek Henry start a season fast. You know what I mean? I've never seen him come out of the gate and go for, you know, 180 on opening day. And maybe I have, and I just forgot about it. I'm sure somebody can show me a statistic. But he hasn't played for a while, okay? And so I'm not going to go out and expect him to just have a monster day, all right? Now, they lost some people up front defensively in this last game. This is another area where, you know, having the bye week and them having to play was important because there's some injuries over there for the Bengals that matter because they're normally a pretty good run defense, and the Titans have gotten a chance to get healthy, and they got banged up. So I think the opportunity is there to run the ball maybe a little bit better than you expected. We'll see. Now, you know, I know Jesse Bates, I'm sure he's going to have some things to say this week. He's played Ryan Tannehill twice, and he's picked him off twice. But if they can run the ball a little bit better, you know, they can run the play action a little bit better, the middle of the field a little bit better, because Tannehill has to be good, all right? And that doesn't mean he's got to throw for 300 yards, but it definitely means he can't turn the football over. You know, we can all pull out the statistics from the season of the Titans' five losses. And, you know, outside of, I think it was the Jets game, you know, they're just hammered by turnovers and all those other losses. You feel like if they take care of the ball, they'll win the game. And I think this game is largely along those lines. And I think, you know, having his veterans back, you know, having Julio, having AJ, having Firkser back in the mix, I think helps Tannehill a lot in that department. So I think it sets up pretty well for them, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. The other thing is, you know, you've got the Vrabel factor and the extended rest, where they're 8-0 on extended rest, and not just 8-0, but winning by an average of 18.8 points per game. Whatever his secret sauce is he's got for preparation, he could bottle that thing and sell it for $1 billion on the NFL market, because the Titans come off extended rest better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those stats that, like, when Vrabel's done coaching, like, he's not going to be undefeated, right? Like, at some point, that's going to be like the TV announcer jinxing the free throw shooter, right? Like, he's made 37 straight, you know. But to your point, I mean, yeah, I think it's enough of a sample size to be like, gosh, there must be something to that. Yeah. You know, I haven't looked at everything. I'm sure some of it is like you played the Jags in three of those games or something.
Two of them were against the Jags, okay?
But there you go. That helps.
Yeah, but I looked at the whole list, and, you know, they hammered. The only game they had that was close, okay, was at Baltimore. And that was when they went to Baltimore without A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis had a big day. Or no, A.J. I think played that day.
He ran through their whole team to get in the end zone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But so A.J. played that day. Corey Davis had a big day that day. But they went there and they won in overtime, and then they played well that day. But that game was close. The rest of the games were 14 points or more. All right. So, I mean, they, you know, and yes, two of them were the Jaguars, but they've took it to pretty much everybody. And they haven't come out and just stunk up the joint after a long rest, which is what we see a lot of times, right? We see teams come out and kind of sleepwalk. They've lost their edge a little bit after 2 weeks off. And, you know, somehow, some way, he avoids that. He avoids that. Now, we'll see if he can do it this time, because this is the most important. It's the first time I've had a bye into the playoffs under him. But, you know, I agree with you, Joe. I think 8's a really good sample size at this point. It's not just – I don't think it's just coincidence at this point.
I will say, though, Corey, like, if we're going to talk about Derrick Henry rust at the beginning of a year, mm-hmm. then doesn't the blowout loss to the Cardinals count as coming off a big rest? You know, at the beginning of this year, I mean, doesn't the beginning of the season game, should that not be counted in the you had all the extra prep time you could have ever wanted?
No, I'm not going to count that.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. They were terrible. I mean, there's no question about that. And I think that game was a lack of preparation because much of the team had not practiced or practiced together. I mean, just think about all the time so many of those starters missed all throughout camp, and they just did not look. I mean, I remember looking, going, they don't even look like they practiced. I mean, they were a disaster that day. And so I think that had a lot to do with that one. You know, we're talking about as you're rolling along here, you know, how are you able to take some time off and keep your edge and pick things up? And I think there's a difference. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not naive to it. I'm naive to a lot of things, but I'm not naive to it. but I don't think it's exactly the same thing. But man, I just think back to that day, and I never dreamed this team could play that poorly like they did that day. That was awful.
And they're the one seed. What if we all found out that day this is going to be the one seed?
You know, you bring up the one seed. I'm sure you can do this with every team. I'm sure you can. But, you know, you think about the injuries and you think about some of the stink bombs this team, you know, had against some bad teams and why. And I look at this team and think they should be, gosh, they should be a 14-win team. They should be 14-3 headed into the postseason. If they're remotely healthy this year, they're a 14-win team. And, you know, that's another – I got a lot of areas for confidence heading into the postseason, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Don't worry, Corey. Joe's just trying to be a hater, media guy hater, taking credit away from Vrabel. That's what he does.
That's right. And speaking of coaches hating media people, I got to loop you in on this. So okay. Right now, do you think that Jerry Stackhouse should be on the hot seat?
Oh, what year is it for him? Three?
It's his third year.
Yeah. You know, the thing about college basketball is it doesn't take that many players to really turn things around, right? I mean, just, you know, you can just get a couple and kind of be there. We've seen it over and over again. I guess so. I mean, it's time to start producing. What's their record now in the league?
10-6 and 2-2.
2-2. Well, okay, like two. I'm not putting anybody in a hot seat at 2-2. It's not like I.
We'll put you down for a no. Another no. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'll say no. But you know, this is one where this season the sample size isn't big enough. Now, if they pull a Bryce Drew and you know go 0-for the rest of the SEC season, then I'm definitely going to say so.
Agree.
You'd like to see progress. You would. You'd like to see them be more competitive because, like I said, it doesn't take that many players to all of a sudden become good in college basketball. You know, you're not recruiting an 85-man roster. So, you know, we'll see. I feel terrible about this, but, you know, to me, Vanderbilt basketball has never been less interesting than it is now. And I have a hard time paying attention to it.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here for Two-Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Corey, going to be fun coming up this weekend. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, I think it is going to be fun. I really like this Titans team. I just like their toughness. I do. And I look forward to seeing what's going to happen. They could lose. They can certainly lose. Anybody can lose from this point, but I like their chances.
I like their chances as well. Appreciate you, Corey.
Yep.
Thanks, Corey.
Make sure you check out Two-Tone Blue at 8 every single day here on Robbie and Rexford, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning, talking Titans and looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up in the divisional round. Take your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Jeremiah from Clarksville, who wants to talk about the Titans. Jeremiah, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. A couple things I wanted to say is I'm a disabled veteran. My disability is I took a bullet to the head 16 years ago and lost both my eyes and frontal lobe of my brain. So visually, I can't watch football anymore, but I keep up with it. And being Alabama fan, I know Derrick Henry come out of Alabama, and I've kept up with, man, how he's done since he's been with the Titans, and they call him King George for a reason, and I'm proud of that man. And another reason I'm proud of him, there's never any controversy around him. You know, he puts me in the mind of Peyton Manning. He's just a classy, hell of a football player. And my question is, how can a disabled veteran go about getting a picture of Derrick Henry that I could hang on my wall proudly for everybody to see when they come to visit me?
Well, Jeremiah, that's a good question. We'll see what we can do about that. Appreciate your service. Appreciate your phone call as well. I don't know. I got to feel like, Joe, there's a ton of Derrick Henry pictures around here. We can find Jeremiah.
I would think we'd be able to get Jeremiah a picture of Derrick Henry. We'll work on that. Thank you for your service, Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
And the call.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be heck of an environment coming up on Saturday with Derrick Henry running back out of the tunnel. We had a question last week about whether or not the offense is going to be announced because they typically alternate back and forth. I'd pretty much guarantee you the offense probably going to be announced on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. That would be my hope.
Yeah, what is it? Is it technically the defense's turn? Is
that, I think so.
Is that right? Yeah. No, that's out the window. If anyone even – I mean, that's got to be out the window.
Can
I mean,
you imagine? And now the Titans defense head linebacker, Zach Cunningham.
I would actually encourage all Titans fans to stand and boo through the entire introductions if they if they introduce the defense. Like, I think that's a booable offense.
Do you think Vrabel would start Foreman instead of Henry just for that? Just get Foreman out there.
That would be awesome. They come all the way back down to the 11th guy, and it's a running back, and it's Deontay Foreman runs out. Or like, you know, like maybe they start the fullback, you know, like Kari Blossing game comes out instead of Derrick Henry. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be 22, last one. You know, because, you know, and I like how even just, you know, before he got hurt in a regular game when they introduced the offense, you know, some guys are all like they jump up. Like you know, Kevin Byard gets pumped, you know. He's jumping up and down and like you see that with most guys. Derrick Henry just like jogs out, like looking all scary. Like he just jogs out real slowly. Like, you want to tackle this? You know, let's go. It looks like a freaking gladiator. So, yes, I think that's the way to go for sure.
Derrick Henry comes out, just runs immediately to the Cincinnati sideline, just stares down everyone.
Starts stiff arming people before the game.
I'm interested to see what he looks like. You know, the slow start stuff, and maybe slow start's not the right word because, you know, I think we've talked about this. The Arizona game, I mean, they were just getting killed in that game, and their offensive line was in shambles. He never really even got a chance to get going much in that game against Arizona. So, yeah, I mean, I think Corey's right. If you go back and look at his career, there's not a bunch of 180, 200-yard games to begin seasons for Derrick Henry. Now, I will say, he looked pretty good in the second game of the season this year against Seattle, where he's busting off big runs left and right. So, I don't worry about the slow start of it from, you know, just his history that much. Just the injury standpoint, how quickly can he get back into game speed, and what does his game speed look like right now, not having played in a few months?
Yeah, it's just with him and, like, the slow starts the season thing, I mean – He had 100 yards at Denver in the opener. Now it was like, I mean, it was tough sledding.
Yeah,
it was tough sledding for a lot of that game. I think it was like 30 carries for like 106 or something. So it wasn't like some amazing performance, but it was against a good defense opening night. I mean, a lot of things are probably going to be. You got to remember too, when you talk about Derrick Henry slow starting, how much of that is. And I think this year is definitely the case. How much of that is the whole team not in sync, the running game not in sync, not performing? You know, I don't think it's much him. And the thing is, you go back again, if you want to go back to 19, that's the first year that he was the guy to start a season. And well documented, they were a mess. I mean, I don't even remember what he ran for in that game at Cleveland. They blew out Cleveland. He did have
a screen pass to the house.
He had a 75-yard screen for a TD. But, I mean, again, that if his numbers weren't great in that game, maybe that's because they beat them by 30 and they didn't – you know what I mean? So it's hard for me to look at a very small sample size here with him and say that he's, rusty when he has a long break. Yeah, I think you're right. It's more about the health to me. Is he all good and ready to go and ready to give you a full day's work? Then you feel good about it.
Great quarterbacking in that game as well from Mariota against the Browns. Really a shame we're not seeing that, the Mariota Revenge Tour game happen this weekend.
I mean, I was here for it. Mariota did play well in that game. He had a TD, I think, to A.J. Brown. He had another red zone TD to maybe Jonnu Smith. You know, but, hey, according to you, he never, ever completed a pass. So,
I just said he had a great game. Great game there. Yep. Skipping rocks left and right.
I don't buy it, man. I don't buy it.
Skipped a rock to Derrick Henry, and he took it 75 yards. It was good stuff from Marcus in that game. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and the Bengals. Welcome your thoughts on the matchup. What do you think of this matchup for the Titans in the divisional round? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is the thing that intrigues me about the Bengals. They have the fifth overall run defense.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans want to run the football. They're not going to jerk the wheel, right? Isn't that what – that's what Todd Downing said.
Right.
I'm not going to jerk the wheel on the offense. And you rest assured they're definitely not going to do it
right.
with the tractor coming back. So I want to see how that one matches up. But I do like the way the Titans' defense matches up against the Bengals.
That was our man TD, Teron Davenport, on the NFL pregame show, breaking down the Cincinnati Bengals, who, as we learned, will be the opponent for the Titans coming up in the divisional round on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. So we know the matchup, Joe Rex Road. Impressive win by the Bengals against the Raiders. They get it done 26-19. Joe Burrow goes 24 of 34 for 244 and two touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase with 9 catches in that game for 116 yards. Overall, what do you think of the Bengals and what do you think of this matchup for the Titans as they host Cincinnati coming up in the divisional round on Saturday?
I think the Bengals are good. I think they're really good throwing the ball when Joe Burrow has time to throw. It's Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to get all the attention this week. He's a great player. I think he's a great player right now. He's a rookie. Very rarely do rookie receivers have seasons like this. A lot of times it takes a year. You can maybe see someone's going to be great, but you still don't have those elite receiver numbers. I mean, he's got them. And, of course, the thing is, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins are both really good players too, and the Titans have to deal with them. So that's where the Bengals are. And this is why I agreed with anyone who said this would be the team that you would least like to play, just because when you can throw it to that extent, that can – make up for a lot of other issues. I don't necessarily – I haven't watched a ton of the Bengals either. I have to dig deeper on the rush defense numbers. Certainly anybody who watched the playoff game against the Raiders, Josh Jacobs had lanes. He was able to run the ball. They were able to run the ball. Sometimes it's just situational. And in this league, it's also just hard to even – because there's just so many teams that don't emphasize it at all, running the football. And then there's teams, in their own division, the Ravens, who heavily do. And obviously the Bengals did a good job there, but that's also a totally different kind of scheme, right? And right. So it's just, bottom line through all this, I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball on them. I don't feel like they're going against some kind of brick wall of a defense that they can't run on. And as Corey Curtis pointed out, and we talked about earlier on the show, you got three guys hurt on that defensive front, and we'll find out on all of them. The big key there, especially as it relates to protecting Ryan Tannehill and your own passing offense, is Trey Hendrickson with a concussion.
Well, I mean, Vegas, they didn't even really try to run the ball all that much against Cincinnati. They had 14 runs. So they carried the ball 14 times. Now, one of them was a 20-yarder by Derek Carr. But Josh Jacobs, 13 carries, 83 yards. I mean, that's 6.4 a carry. So it's not like they were getting shut down when running the ball. They just didn't run it all that much.
Well, and that's the and that's where it gets hard because, again, with the Titans this year, I think when the Titans have played in games where they knew the other team wanted to run the ball, they were really good. And actually, at times, teams would hit them with some run plays. You know, teams that weren't really big run teams would hit them with some run plays. Overall, they had great, you know, run defense numbers. And I think that they're, you know, like I think the Titans are good, are good rush defense. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't necessarily buy that the Bengals are this great team. Like, again, have to look into the numbers a little more on game by game. When they played teams that really wanted to run the ball, how did they do? And the thing is, how many teams are out there like that in the NFL? There aren't a ton. You know, the right. Ravens are definitely one of them. But, again, it's just a very different kind of thing when your quarterback is your primary runner. So I think like I just think that the offenses have the edge here. I think the Titans, if the Titans can end enough drives without giving up points because of their pass rush, and, of course, obviously, red zone defense is going to be such a big deal for both teams. They're going to both move between the 20s. Who finishes drives with touchdowns? But if their pass rush comes to play Saturday, I really like the Titans.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in says, the Bengals defense had the fifth fewest rush attempts against and gave up 4.3 yards per carry. We should be able to run. This is coming from Liam on the text line. So according to Liam, the fifth fewest rush attempts against.
Yeah, well, that's a good stat. That's the thing. It's also, again, situationally. Who you're playing, what they want to do. Sure. Also, what is game situation? Because, I mean, even for like sometimes teams that have a great rush D, sometimes it's because it's a really good team. And in the second half of games, opponents are throwing because they're leading these games. I think some of that is the Titans. You know, the Titans were all over the map this year, but they went 12-5. They won a lot of games and they had a fair amount of opponents who were just trying to throw themselves back into a game in the second half, you know. So I just watching them play, I think the Titans are going to be able to run the ball. And I know it's a year later and they've gotten better on D as well. But if you remember that game last year in Cincy, which was a real egg laid by the Titans, but it was also a little glimpse of Burrow, right? In that game, if the Titans weren't multiple scores down, man, Derrick Henry, I don't remember what he ended up with, but that was a 250-yard day just begging to happen if the Titans didn't throw a bad turn pick early and just mess around and get behind.
Funnily enough, that was Jonathan Joseph's last game as a member of the Titans that day against Cincinnati.
Yeah. Imagine if Ja'Marr Chase were in the NFL at that point.
Well, you brought up, you know, his stats as a rookie earlier. I cannot believe that 2019 LSU team. Ja'Marr Chase this year, 81 catches, 1,455 yards, 13 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson last year, his rookie year, 88 catches, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, Chase had 6 more touchdowns, but other than that, the numbers virtually identical. And they played on the same team in college. It's unbelievable.
It's absolutely outrageous. It's outrageous. Now, of course, and even with that, like, and Jefferson's great. Don't get me wrong. But I still think there's they're going to be on different tiers. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I'm selling Jefferson short. I just think Chase is special, man. He just has every single thing. And you just don't see receivers that are that complete very often.
And Ja'Marr Chase and Christian Fulton, very good friends. I think played in high school together, played in college together, and now I would assume at least a little bit going to be facing each other one-on-one coming up this weekend as well. Interested to see how that matchup goes. Big test for Christian Fulton.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's like if you look at the Titans defense, if they can play their best, we're talking so much about the Titans offense. Okay, offensive line, is it gelling? Is it finally going to play its best? You finally get Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown together and all that stuff. But, you know, this Titans defense, too, if you have everything in place with Zach Cunningham and what he has brought, with David Long now back, if you can get everybody healthy up front and have, you know, Naquan Jones and or Tyr Tart to go with those mainstays, you know, the way Hooker and Byard are playing. The only thing that, you know, at times is still an issue is, like, if they had one more really good corner, you know,
yep,
if they had a little bit more at corner, you'd feel better about him. I think rookie Elijah Molden is a big storyline in these playoffs. It's, you know, they need him to play his best. When he does, he's good. But, yeah, I think Fulton, whenever there's a man situation here, I don't see how it would be anyone but Fulton. I also think the Titans, I mean, they're going to have to, to me, like, give a little extra attention to Chase. And if the other guys hurt you, they do. But I don't think you can just play the Bengals straight up and let Chase just carve you up because he's that good.
Well, Kansas City tried that for a while, and that didn't go so well for them.
And it seemed like whatever they were trying, it didn't matter anyway. By the end of the game, I mean, I felt like they were bracketing him and everything, and it was like, yeah, okay, just throw it up to him and he'll make the play.
Plain Joe on the text line says, if the Titans defense can jam the Bengals tight ends at the line like they did to Kelce and Kittle, and they can press and double Chase, that should give the pass rush a lot of opportunities. That should limit the Cincinnati production downfield. The Titans defense should be able to do enough to outscore them. And to Joe's point there, that is one area that you feel pretty good about, is that Bengals offensive line gives up a ton of sacks. This is a big opportunity for Bud Dupree and Jeff Simmons and Harold Landry and Danico Autry to wreak some havoc on this game.
Yeah, most sacked QB in the league, which it's kind of amazing when you think of the season they've had, the production he's had. That it kind of tells you how good he and the receivers are, the fact that he's sacked that much. But it also tells you, what would they be if they had protection? And they don't have great protection. And that's a big, big key. The Titans have got to, if they rush the passer like they have done in several games this year, not in every game, but in several games, and they have that all game, I think you're going to get enough stops. And I don't like the Bengals defense. I don't like it very much. I think the Titans would have to really make some mistakes to not have a good day offensively against that defense.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight against the Blues. Be caller number one at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues on the road. Pregame at 6:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Puck drop at 7. You can hear a special edition of Preds Insiders as well from 6 to 6:30 coming up later tonight. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners and Joe Rex Road in a deadlock with 9 correct answers each. So a heat at the top of the competition. Robbie Stanley with 7 correct answers. Michelle Knezovic on the board last time around. So up to 4. So Michelle, woo, back on the move in the competition this time around. So with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Joshua from Ashland City. Joshua, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
What's up, buddy?
Appreciate you taking time to call in today. So Josh, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators as they take on the Blues?
I got two things real fast. First of all, congratulations on fantasy football win. And
Thank you. Second of all,
is Philip Forsberg still day-to-day or is he back active?
He is still on the COVID list at the moment, so unknown for tonight.
All right, so I'm just going to go with Michelle's pick, and I'm going to pick Ryan Johansson.
There you go. Ooh. I like that. Well done, Josh. Appreciate you taking time to call in.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
So Josh going with Ryan Johansson, the first pick off the board, which, Joe Rexroad, opens up the door for me in the competition today. Give me Matt Duchene. He's been back on a little bit of a heater as of late. So I'm going with Duchene to get back on the board. So Johansson
and Duchesne, the first two off. Joe Rexrode, you're up next. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
By the way, I get to go first next time. I know I'm first next time.
You are first next time.
Okay. All right. It all adds up. Gosh, you know,
Joe, you're winning.
I'm not winning though. I'm now tied. I used to have a nice, comfortable lead, and it's you know, the walls are crashing in around me. You know, this is tough. I just feel like, obviously, Forsberg out of the lineup, I feel like I go Josi a lot instead of a forward. And maybe I should go with like a Cunnan, a Granlund, you know? But no, I'll go. That was amazing. So it was Connie from, was it from Clarksville?
Yeah.
Amazing that she picked Matt Benning, which again, it's like, if she gets this right, and she didn't, but the fact that he had an own goal that night is actually pretty astounding. Like that's kind of creepy. I'll go Josi. I'll stick with the Norris candidate who
all that is
having a ridiculous year.
All that, and he circles back around to Josi.
Yeah.
Love it. So Johansson, Duchesne, and Josi off the board. Michelle Knezvik, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
See, you took my Roman Josi pick, Joe. I'm just going to say every time who you pick, I was going to pick because you're winning. So then right. I guess I hypothetically would have been winning.
Well, then I need to pick Mac Benning soon. So you can, then I want to hear you complain about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Eli Tolvanen tonight.
Eli Tolvanen for Michelle Knezvik. I like it. He's been a little bit quiet as of late. Maybe time for Eli Tolvanen to find a few to hit the back of the net. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Josh from Ashland City selecting Ryan Johansson. Robbie going with Matt Duchesne. Joe with Roman Josi. And Michelle with Eli Tolvanen. We'll see how the Predators do tonight against the Blues. Big one tonight against the Blues. And by the way, Roman Josi, I think his career high for a season for goals is 16, which I think he said a couple years ago when he won the Norris. He's at 13 right now. Like he's going to destroy that pace. He might get 20, 22, 23 goals this year, which as a defenseman is pretty ridiculous.
Pretty much. I'm counting on 14 tonight, Roman, so don't let me down.
Buddy. Also, when do we find out if he made it into the All-Star game? Wasn't he one of the...
I don't know, but can I just say...
That's just so dumb.
It's just so stupid. I mean, this, first off, you know, I thought the new All-Star format was cool. When they came, remember when they came to Nashville back in 2016, that was the first time that they did the 3-on-3 stuff, and it was cool. I'm glad they changed things up because, quite frankly, the previous version of the NHL All-Star game was brutal to watch. Not that this is much better, but it's brutal to watch. But this idea that Roman Josi is not an All-Star right out of the gate is just ridiculous. Like, I get it. Cale Makar deserves to be there. He was the only defenseman that was on the list, which is just amazing for the Central Division, but Roman Josi having to be the last man in or whatever it is so stupid. I mean, this All-Star games by and large are just so dumb.
You know, don't want to be, it's very easy for stuff like this, like Vrabel Coach of the Year and Derrick Henry MVP and all this stuff to, you know, be homerish. We're in Nashville, so like I try to be conscious of that. Like, are we just being homers for the local team or, you know, looking at it objectively? It's objectively idiotic that Roman Josi would not be instantly an All-Star by whatever measure you would pick an All-Star team. I mean, yes. It's objectively moronic. In any town in the NHL, I would hope that someone would at least be like, huh, for a moment about that. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me that we're having – not that this is the world's biggest deal. I mean, quite frankly, if deep down maybe you gave Roman Josi some truth serum, he'd probably say, yeah, I wouldn't mind a weekend off. I don't know. Look, I don't want to speak for Roman Josi on that thing, but it's not the world's biggest deal. But it's just – I saw that the other day, which, by the way, congratulations to Josi Saros. I think well-deserved. I think everybody would agree with that. But I saw that Josi wasn't on the team to begin with the other day, and I was just like, this is absolutely absurd. And I'm not taking anything away from Cale Makar because he absolutely deserves
both to be of there. Both of them are like instant. I mean, there's no. I mean, these are like if you have two people who are like your favorites for the major award, you know, like top defensemen, the Norris. then I would say both of them would be auto all-stars. What am I missing?
God, I'd hope so. But apparently we're missing something. But, hey, maybe this is – maybe Roman Josi right now as we speak in a hotel room in St. Louis is doing one-arm push-ups because he's not in the all-star game. And tonight he's just going to go eviscerate the Blues. This is a big game tonight, by the way. The Blues 2 points back of the Predators, and they have one game in hand. So Preds could create a little separation tonight if they can get it done in regulation.
By the way, who'd the Blues send? Who'd the Blues got in the All-Star game?
I would have to go back and look because the list is escaping me at the moment.
O'Reilly?
Maybe Tarasenko?
I mean, whoever it is, Roshi's got a picture of that guy in his room right now as he does one-handed push-ups, you know?
That's right.
Fuming. Ready for tonight's game.
He's just going to skate right around these people. Looking forward to it. You know, they've hit a little bit of a mini snag here. I mean, the Buffalo game was not good from the Predators. And they got it. I think Matthias Ekholm put it best. They pretty much got what they deserved in that game. Got a little bit better against Boston. That's a tough place to win, as you pointed out, especially for them. That's been a tough place to win over the years. Get the point on the road. You got four games this week. You're on the road tonight against St. Louis. You come back home tomorrow against Vancouver, and you have Winnipeg and Detroit to close out the home schedule this week. So some big games coming up this week for the Predators, including three at home. It'd be nice to start things off with 2 points on the road tonight against the divisional opponent.
Yeah, how about Craig Smith, with the big how about the fact that the Bruins have two former Preds in their, you know, top six, and they've split that lineup, you know, with Pasternak now and everything. Two former Preds, Halla also in there, but this is a big week, a grueling week, you know. And hey, I mean, to me, if you're I agree, it's like, okay, you had one bad game, kind of predictable, then you played better, and you know, you lost in overtime against a good team on the road that you just have a bad history against. So now you got, you know, you're gonna have to employ multiple goalies this week. It's gonna be a very demanding week. But you know, if you started off well tonight, you can kind of get that momentum going back in the way it was going.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and the Titans divisional round matchup against the Bengals as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.